Call of June 6th Commissioner meeting to order. Please rise for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Jeff Johnson, you want to come on up and give your report for us?
Good evening.
How you doing?
Wonderful.
Great.
We've accomplished quite a bit this last month, so thank you. I'll start at the Justice Center. We've completed the water system retrofit. The only thing left is for the computer system to come in for us to wire that up. I don't have an ETA on that yet. I'm still waiting for that to come back from Incon. We ran a 220-volt circuit to the kitchen to run the new microwave. We've changed all the filters and cleaned the rooftop fins on all the rooftop units. We replaced two cell door locks. There are the automatic door locks. We took a straight truck. You guys are familiar with the white straight truck that the Hammond has. We filled that with full of stuff from the jail basement to get rid of. That was a huge, it made a big difference down there. We replaced the circulator pump and impeller for the hot water system over there. They had no hot water for, I think, maybe half a day. So that went together really quickly. We fixed the shower drain in B block. It was overflowing, and we hung a TV in both the library and in dispatch. At the Pulaski County Highway Department, the generator installation is complete, and it works well. Once the barrier posts go in, we'll build a cover for the generator. The building exterior has been scraped down, primed, and repainted. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to see it, but we've completed that. It looks a lot better than what it did. We also installed a light sensor for the outside lights underneath the awning so that they automatically shut off in daylight. We did that over at the annex building, too. They have those 3-foot outside exterior lights all over. We hooked the ones up at the back into a light sensor, too. The problem was they turn the lights on and forget they turn them on, so they're on all weekend. Well, that doesn't happen anymore. At the annex building, we trimmed a lot of trees and bushes. We took 6 truckloads of brush from the back of the annex to the dump. And we assisted IT running network cable. At the Pulaski County EMS, we trimmed a bunch of trees out there, too. We have some more to do. I think we have a dead tree out there in the corner by the road on the west side. More to come on that. We also replumbed the bathroom sink drain. The way that it was plumbed before, there was too many angles in the drain. It wasn't drained right. So hopefully we've taken care of that. At the county courthouse, the tree removal is complete. The stumps have been ground out. We need to get a couple pickup truckloads of black dirt to spread it out, make it nice and even, and then we'll plant grass and cover it with straw. That's probably going to happen in the next couple of days. We also installed some air conditioners here in the courthouse, and Cass County Corrections delivered a ton of flowers, so we've put them where we could. Even put some over at the annex building. I think we put some out at the county highway, too, if I remember right. There's been no emergency calls this month. There's been no accidents this month. We finished painting all the parking lines and curbs at the courthouse, annex, county highway, and EMS. There was a power loss at the county home. The town was called in to fix a transformer fuse, and we had to fix a water hydrant out there they use for the garden. Apparently it broke somehow and was flooding that whole area, so that's been fixed. And I wanted to add this. We use inmate augmentees to help us out. Over the past 2 or 3 months, we've used the same 3 guys. They're really helping us out a lot. And I wanted to point out that because you guys allow us to use them, that's like $25,000 worth of labor that we get for free. And they've really, without them, those six truckloads of brush and stuff would have been extremely difficult. So that's all I have.
Very good, Jeff. Your crew is doing an outstanding job, as always. And kudos go out to the Sheriff Rich Wine for allowing his inmates there to assist you. We recognize it can't always happen, but when we can, it benefits everyone. Do you want to elaborate? You worked with Work One. Do you want to say anything about that program or what's going
sure.
on?
A couple months ago, they came in and gave their presentation that they would allow us to use interns. They pay their wages and their insurance costs. So it's, again, free labor for us, but at the same time, it offers whoever this individual is on-the-job training as far as electrical goes or plumbing or whatever. So I got with Work One, and I interviewed one of them, and he's working with us now. He just started today. So he doesn't get the security codes or keys or anything like that, but he's going to learn a lot, and in doing so, he's going to help us out immensely. So I think it's an awesome program. I think if anybody has the opportunity to take part in that, I think they should.
Yeah. Very good.
Jeff, mm-hmm. heard some comments from the taxpayers and some other people. Mm-hmm. They're a little nervous with the inmates with lack of supervision.
Lack of supervision?
And they sit down about 10 o'clock and eat their dinner. They need to be policed a little better.
When they're eating their lunch down there, there's always one of us there. They're not down there by the, we don't, first of all, we can't let them just run around by themselves. We can't do that. When they're in the courthouse, that's where they're at to eat lunch. Now, there's some areas that we don't allow them to go in at all, period, even with us. We don't take them to the dispatch office or the courtrooms. Every once in a while, we might go into like one of the auditor's office or an office like that if we need assistance with, you know, whatever the job is. But there's certain areas that we keep them out of. There's one of us around them. We're in the area. We have to stay in the area. That's part of the agreement with the sheriff.
Thank you,
sure.
Can you give us a little update on the attic repairs?
Yes, the attic repair will kick off on the fourth week of this month. We've talked to the judge and his staff. There's going to be power tools used, so it's going to be a little bit invasive, but they said they'll work around it. This is part one of the attic repair. They're going to do the north side where the majority of the damage is and the majority of the problems. And then once that's complete, then I'll come back to you with a report on that. But again, that should be the fourth week of this month.
Okay.
And they're estimating it's going to take a week to be up there. So they're going to knock this out fast.
For part one.
Yes.
One week for part one.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a question. It may be time to draw.
Mm-hmm.
But who has directed you to like deal with bronze last week?
Nobody directed me to.
Okay.
It was there was an opportunity there to. I know that there's been an issue. There's some people that's concerned about their opinion on the work we've got going on around here and the things that's been talked about that may happen. So I took the initiative and reached out to them so that they wouldn't be blindsided by it, so that they would be on the same page. They would have the information that I've got, so that when the time came, if more conversations needed to happen, they'd be able to do that. So that was completely, I mean, if I remember right, I think I asked them if that would be okay. I don't remember if that was a phone call. Did I ask you guys that?
You asked me.
Yes. Yes.
Was it by phone call or email?
I believe it was a phone call, and I don't think it was an email here, but I support you reaching out to anyone of our community agencies. They need to know that whichever direction we go in, it may impact them.
Right.
They could read the newspaper, but if there's, as if they walked in the door, they can walk right up to Jeff and ask questions. So,
and I don't remember if I talked to you about that day that you were in here and we spoke. I don't remember if that was one of the things I talked about or not.
I could have been in the hospital
too. Okay. Okay. I don't. I'm sorry. That's been a while ago, and I don't remember. But if that answers your question.
And with your email, it sounds like you want and got everything ready to go again. Who's that decision? Is that the council and the commissioners?
I got everything ready to go.
The progress.
I've got all of the information together.
Okay.
This is me presenting all of the information so that everybody's on the same page. And it's going to be, it's at the joint session so that everybody's there.
If it's a project that county is even inquiring, and we've asked Jeff to bring everything to get together, you know, project manager or maintenance director, I think he's doing a fantastic job of getting everyone informed. We've had our public meetings. People have come up to him and asked questions. He's provided them with the information as much as possible. And if it's a project that we want to kick off for 2016, I think that he's doing due diligence. If you're of the impression that we should never even think about this, That's your opinion, but in my opinion, I think you're doing a great job.
Yeah. In conflict with that, I don't think we're ready to move forward.
Well,
you said it had a public meeting, but what was your response from that public meeting? I got some negative responses, didn't you, Jeff?
I did. There were positive ones too, but I can't just say, okay, we're going to do this. I have no say in that whatsoever. It's the three of you that have control over that, and then the seven council members. I don't want you to think that I'm trying to push this through on my own, because I'm not. I know where the decisions are made, and that's why I bring this stuff to you guys at that joint session or this meeting or whatever, so you guys can make those. I'm not calling and telling anybody that this is going to happen or that we're doing this and this is the start date. I would never do that.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Mm-hmm. What about the EMA building out there? Does the county not have time to mow around it?
The EMA building.
There we go.
The EMS building?
The React team. Michael.
No, I was under the impression that they mowed that themselves. They have their own mower out there. They mow that themselves. We don't mow that.
Why do they have to though? It's a county building.
I have no
it's
idea.
Their building.
I've never mowed it. Well, I take that back. I think I mowed it once when it got really really high, but I've only done it that one time. I've never in the 3 years that I've been here, I've never mowed it but that once. I didn't know that was our responsibility.
Do you think we could work it in?
We could, yeah. I mean, if that's what you guys want me to do, if it's our responsibility to do that, yeah, we could do it while we were out there.
Would that be really okay?
I don't know.
I guess I'm not sure.
I don't know what their lease. I don't know what their lease says or what.
You talking about React?
Yeah, the React building.
We don't own. We don't. It's not our property, so you'd have to clear it with them if you're gonna.
Thanks.
Good. Thank you very much.
See you later.
Thank you.
See you. Dave Bennett. How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Hi, Dave.
I'm Dave Bennett Insurance. I have my agency partners, Miguel Salazar and Ed Grauman with Gibson Insurance tonight. I think you've met them all before. We've got some renewal options we'd like to go over with tonight. Some other information we'd like to share with you. Who would like to start?
Sure, Ryan. He's out. Well, good evening, gentlemen, and thank you for
allowing us to present this to you today. We'll try to be as brief as possible, yet highlight enough of the information so that there's a very good understanding of what will be our proposal.
Oh, sure.
So in your packets here, you'll find in tab one, this is just simply the summary slide grid for our annual survey that we do for benefits. And annually we get responses from 200 to 250 employers in the area, Northern Indiana, all the way down to Indianapolis to compare benefits so that we're constantly monitoring and comparing against what other employers in the area are doing so that if there's a benefit change that perhaps can be considered, then this gives us some very good feedback from other area employers on what to perhaps propose. So this is just for some basic information. We just completed our 2016 survey, so there'll be more information to come. There's a complete report back that will be delivered to the county administration so that they have a very good complete packet of all that information. Okay? Which, like I said, is just for more for general information purposes for you. Tab 2, I shared this with you, and I'll just highlight what this is. This is our, what we call our dashboard report, and every month we monitor and we share with Dave Bennett, also our local partner here, how your plan is performed. And what I mean by that is that at the beginning of every year, we do help set your budget for your medical program. And then every month, we track all of your costs, be it your claims costs or your administrative costs, and compare that to how you should be running. So that if anything in any given month looks a little strange, then we'll dig into that and figure out or find out what's causing that, whether it's an administrative kind of problem on how costs are being reported, or if it's truly a claims issue where you have a significant claim hit for any given month. Okay? So the only thing, maybe a couple things to highlight on this particular report. Column D, if I can point to your attention to that. Column D, you see three zeros for the month of November, December, and January. Okay, so for your current plan year, that is how your credit refund or your refund is reflected from your prior plan year. So in 2015, you were credited with a refund of $226,000. Well, closer to 227. It's 226,855. And so that's how that's being reflected as a credit for the coming plan year. Okay. Now, also, just to point out, over the last 4 years that we've tracked your program so far, the refund from this particular program has been over $550,000 over the last 4 years. So all that means is that, you know, whatever happens throughout the year, you always plan for the worst, but then you do end up four years out of the last five years, getting a refund. And it has been significant, so it does add up.
Miguel, you may want to explain for Bud's benefits what type of plan we have here. I know Larry and Terry are familiar with it, but Bud, being a newest member,
sure,
may not be as familiar.
Right. So this particular plan is kind of a hybrid to a self-funded plan. And so unlike the traditional self-funded program where you have the ups and downs of claims that fluctuate, you know, whether they're super high 1 month and super low the next month, this kind of just evens out those ups and downs from month to month. And so what you're paying is really a fixed amount based on your membership. But then at the end of the year, depending on how your claims have truly performed, you stand to get a refund at the end of every year.
Okay, so that's in a nutshell, that's how your program works.
You'll never pay more, but you have the opportunity to get a refund.
That's correct. Okay, and so as you can see, for the last many years, this program has really worked well for the county to maintain it this way. Okay. Now, also some positive news for that is that the county's on track. If we took a snapshot of the 9 months of data that we have today, you're on track to get about $141,000 at the end of this plan year. Okay. Assuming that plays out and there's a handful of months left, then those credits will be refunded once again in your next plan year. Okay. Tab 3, and this is really getting into, as Dave mentioned, what we wanted to review and propose in terms of your medical and your ancillary program renewal. So last year, we took a look at the markets. So we looked at your medical program and had other vendors give us proposals, and there was nothing that could really even touch the kind of program that you have in place today. Okay, so this year, when Cigna came in with a 15.35% increase, that's what they were proposing, as you can see on this sheet here at the top right, a 15.35% increase to your rates, we once again just had some very high-level discussions with some of the carriers, and reminded them last year that they didn't come in very, very competitive. Did they think that they would have an opportunity or a chance to even be considered? And we got basically the same response. And so what we did is then go back to Cigna, and knowing that we wanted to see if Cigna was willing to negotiate some on this. When all was said and done, if you flip to the next page, what's highlighted in yellow, what you see there is that your rates, you have two plans. The rates on your HSA plan went down slightly. Your rates on your PPO plan went up slightly. So there was a little bit of give and take. The net effect is that your overall costs do not increase for the coming year as part of your medical plan renewal. Okay? So essentially, we negotiated with Cigna to wipe out that 15% increase. Okay. Now also, just as a reminder, once again, that Cigna, as maybe you've seen in recent news over the last 6-8 months, that they were acquired by Anthem. And so that's still very much in the works to have that full acquisition done. Now what that may mean to your program in particular, whether it's a change in some of the network physicians, that's still a long ways away. I mean, and even though maybe a year or two for us may seem like a long ways away, it'll be here before we know it. But nevertheless, we're constantly monitoring stuff like that. Okay.
So what's the backup plan if Cigna does do its magic and reshuffle the deck of cards of our providers, and if we lose 50% of our providers that are currently in the surrounding area?
Sure, that's a fair question. And actually, I think the opportunity, we see it more as the other way, because Anthem has a much broader network of providers in throughout Indiana. So if you were to compare in any of the markets, if we were to compare Cigna versus Anthem providers, there's all the overlap, and then even broader with the Anthem network. So I think if ever that were to come, I think we would want to see that.
I would like the pool of providers to increase definitely.
Yep.
Versus the opposite.
Yep.
And I don't want our employees to have to drive the extra 20 miles, 25 miles one way to find that eligible provider. And so I'm hoping
that's not going to happen with Anthem.
Yeah,
the crystal ball is there that we're staying firm with our providers that we have in our area.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a very good point, because besides cost, then network disruption is always a close second to wanting to prevent that from happening in any area.
And some carriers are offering lower cost plans by limiting those networks, and so you have to be very cautious on that, even on individual policies.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that's a good point too, Dave. Okay. Any other questions or thoughts on the medical renewal? So once again, I think what we're wanting to propose is that you do renew your program and your medical plan for the coming year. Okay. The other thing is on the ancillaries. So the next couple of pages, you'll see that we did look at the market for other options on whether other carriers would be willing to provide a competitive quote. When all is said and done, if you look one page further, and I know there's a lot of detail in here, but the bottom line for you is that you have three carriers in place right now for all your ancillary benefits. Symetra, you have your life, your voluntary life, and your short-term disability. And that renewal is a flat renewal. Okay? For your dental plan, you have MetLife. Okay? And that is a 7.5% renewal increase. Okay? VSP, that one does that for your vision plan, does not renew until August of 2017. So to bottom line it for you, if you were to not want to change anything on your program and keep all three carriers and keep all the same benefits, then your renewal overall effect is $5,400 overall increase.
Okay.
For the county. That's the bottom line. Okay. What we did is we approached of all the carriers that we looked at, we approached MetLife, because I think they gave us the best opportunity to try to consolidate this. MetLife is willing to offer, instead of a 7.5% dental renewal, they're willing to offer a 3% dental renewal if we were to move the life, the voluntary life, and the short-term disability to them. And they would match the renewal rates that Symetra is offering, which is still a rate hold. Okay. So the net effect on the cost side of things, keeping benefits similar to what you have today, is instead of a $5,400 overall increase, it would be $1,500 overall increase.
Okay. Are we going to lose anything by sliding the life insurance over? Are we going to lose any benefits?
No, the only thing that we can maybe, Andrew has a couple things maybe to highlight to answer your question, because there's just some very minor things on how one carrier covers certain things versus another.
So in terms of benefits, no. In the overall large scheme of things, we've taken a look at this, and you would be operating similar to how you are today. For the basic life insurance, actually you would have an increase in how long full-time students could be covered under your plan. That would simply be the only change.
That was generally up to, 25?
23 currently, it would go to 25.
Okay.
So, just if they're still full-time student though. So, for the voluntary life, it would change a little bit on the overall maximum. Anything that exists today would be grandfathered, so you wouldn't be changing any of what exists today, but new employees would have a maximum of no longer larger than 3 times their salary, or up to $500,000. Today it's just a flat $500,000. You don't have a ton of employees that probably hit that amount or request it, but it could happen. On the back end, there's no age reduction schedule, which would mean at certain ages the amount of benefit goes down. So that doesn't exist with the new, as well as evidence of insurability or answering medical questions has a higher limit. All the way up to 100,000, and that's not capped. So they kind of do level out. Short-term disability would be exactly the same. The real hidden value in this, though, comes down to the administration going from your 4 carriers today down to 3, because you would, the same system that you're using for dental, you would now use for life, voluntary life, and short-term disability. So now when she's doing these actions, would it be able to stick within one less system?
So how much is Michelle going to have to do on the administrative side and switching everything over?
For these type of lines, it's not a lot of work. A lot of what we'll do on the front end is kind of triage that and have a lot of the information that we have already ready to go. It would be a couple signatures, maybe a little bit of help in coordinating some information, but in the long run, with a 2-month cycle here, we'll have plenty of time to get it in with minimal stress.
MetLife has been pretty good on the dental, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
As far as administration and servicing?
Oh, yeah.
I thought they have. I haven't had any complaints.
The other thing also that to point out is that it gets everything on an August 1st renewal cycle. Right now, your life, all life, STD, and Spectra is on an October cycle. And so I mean, overall, it's going to be...
Single cycle.
And administrative simplification, and there's some savings in there as well.
And those rates, the answer, the life, the voluntary life, and the short-term disability are two-year rates, whereas Symmetra would only give you 1 year, and we'd be revisiting this again next year. So another hidden value in that switch.
So we recommend that we change the MetLife.
Any other thoughts or questions about that?
Not for me.
Okay. All right. Just a couple more things here. ITAP 4, the next couple of sections, what you'll find is that before you get into that, what we like to see as one of the reasons why we get hired is to make sure that we are staying on top of best practices. And we're the ones doing all the research on your behalf. We're filtering through all the increasing types of products and the vendors that are flooding the markets, you know, year in and year out. And so when all that stuff is said and done, and what we bring to you is that it's because we think that this is something that should be considered. Okay? There's a lot of stuff that we don't bring to you, and I think, you know, hopefully you appreciate that, because we don't want to just bring something to you just for the sake of saying that we brought it to you. So the two things in the next couple of tabs, one is you may have heard the terms telehealth and telemedicine.
Yes.
Okay? And so the way that it can be rolled out with Cigna, the current program, is that Cigna will roll it out at no cost from now until 1st of January 2017. Okay. So essentially it's kind of a trial period. And to see how your employees like it, whether they don't like it, or how, you know, some of the things that they may have issue with or need some more help with. And of course, you know, we will be helpful in rolling out communication and so on to the employees. Now, come January 2017, if you do want to keep that telehealth, telemedicine program in place, then it's 50 cents per employee, or is it per member, sorry, per employee.
Per monthly fee per covered employee.
Per month, okay? And so that would be ongoing from that point forward. Okay. So that I think our recommendation there is to at least give it the trial period, see how folks like it, and then, you know, come January of 2017, we can ask Cigna to carve it out if there's not a lot of attraction to it.
So with the and no, I'm not in. I don't have coverage with y'all. The commissioners don't have coverage, but
okay.
3 bottles of insulin for my wife is $620 for 3 bottles. That's basically just under 3 months of coverage, if that. We'll just use this as an example. Is there a way or a program out there that you're going out and on our behalf seeking out the companies that may say, hey, Mr. Brady, we want to help you out here. We want to provide you with the same type of medication, because some philanthropists out there is going to donate this money towards giving the coverage, not necessarily on insulin, but maybe cancer medications, et cetera. Is there anything that could be down the path?
I don't know if you looked ahead.
No, I didn't.
Because this was a perfect segue into
you can pay me later.
the next program that we are presenting to you today. So behind tab 5, and once again, we'll just bottom line it for you here. RX Health Centers, and exactly kind of what you outlined and highlighted there, is that what they do is they take your population, they look at your data, they identify how many folks they could help that are on a high-costing type of drug, whether it's a brand name or
No generics are available.
Not generics, but the brand name or specialty drugs in particular. Okay? And so out of the population, and if you look here, the numbers that we provided to them, they did identify that if only 10 out of the 13 high-dollar costing prescription takers were to engage and allow them to help them, then the cost to the county, annualized cost, would be about $6,000. Okay? But the savings just in those 10 folks would be about $50,000. Okay? So, and what I will tell you is that for every single client that we have implemented this program into, it has paid for itself and then some.
So, and I don't know who I'm going to be looking at here. Has anyone delved into, don't put any HIPAA information out here, but do you feel that we are in the ball game of having some people that may benefit from this? If you guys...
In looking at claims data and things like that, yes, this could help you immediately. And I will leave it at that.
Yes.
It is one, you work with it, and the ROI turns around very quickly. Sometimes it takes a little bit. The real key to this one is communication.
Who's providing that communication? Is that the patient, depending upon you, to say, hey, Dave, as our agent for Pulaski County, or to Michelle?
Sure.
Here's my list of medications. Am I going to be eligible, or is someone out there looking on our behalf?
Yeah. So the real issue we have here is with HIPAA, and you kind of understand that.
Yeah.
So what happens is once we implement this, there are rounds of communication we can get to Pulaski County to distribute to employees. Typically, because we are dealing with HIPAA-protected information, we try to keep that communication between RX Help Centers and the employee to keep the liability out. I know you'll appreciate that. However, giving them simple information and giving them a list of drugs, hey, for example, these can be helped.
Okay.
We can do information like that. It's de-identified. It's not discriminatory in any manner. It's blanket information.
Okay.
This is a really good program.
Yes, it is, Dave. And I'm anxious to see what the next 2 or 3 years of benefits. I'm not just talking about the bottom line for our county dollar, but I'm for our employees and the releasing of the financial burden that's going to come off of them, knowing that someone's there making them aware. Now, whether they choose to participate or capitalize on that, but...
See, a lot of times that is the key. You hit it right there on the head, is that they're voluntary programs. I mean, we could communicate to where... you know, blue face, and if nobody wants to engage and can't force them,
correct,
then, you know, but I think it really starts with educating and communicating the value of these types of programs. Okay. So this one too, it would, assuming that commissioners allow us to move forward with this program as well, that it would probably take 45 days or so to set up and get the right communication out there. This doesn't have to be tied to your renewal at all. This could be rolled out at any time during the year. Okay. Other questions or thoughts on this? No? Okay. Right, and then the last tab, this is just a snapshot of our high-level timeline on the things that we focus on month to month. And, of course, there's a lot of stuff that happens in between these two. So this is just more of a guide that we use and we provide to Michelle as well and Sheila to know what's going to happen month in and month out. Okay?
Michelle, do you have access to the dashboard, or is that something that just stays with Dave? And
she can have. I don't think you're receiving it now, are you?
I don't think so.
Would you like to receive it?
That'd be fine.
Okay. I'll start sending it to you.
Okay.
Yeah, but I just have one more item to share with everyone here. It may not be quite a month ago, but right around a month ago, we made an announcement that we invested in a company called Reach 360. And basically the high-level services that they provide are HR and bookkeeping services. And how we approach this in terms of proposing or offering our clients a way to consider the services that are being offered by Reach 360 is really in this single page that I'm providing. Is this going up? Can you guys hear me okay?
If you speak really close to it, it'll go out.
Basically, what this organization does is that they offer the opportunity to do an HR audit, simply put. Okay? And from that, what they will do is identify some areas that you may need some improvement on, whether it's it leads to some compliance issues or just administrative simplification, systems that perhaps you should consider. So they will provide you a comprehensive report on these are the things that you should consider. Now, whether you would like Reach 360 to help you with any of these, help you prioritize these, you know, that's what they would do. If you decide, well, no, we're just going to take it on ourselves, but that is a free audit service for the county to take advantage of. Okay? So that, in a nutshell, that's the investment that we have made, and it was just rolled out and made public about a month ago.
Very good. Dave, August 1st is the deadline for putting pen to paper. That's your renewal date. We'd really like some direction tonight, if possible. Bud, you got any questions, Terry?
No.
No, you're welcome. We really probably should get the signal so we can inform the signal.
Yeah, I would say
the renewal.
Yeah, the medical plan is first. I think the decision on if there are questions or any other comments on or thoughts on the medical renewal. I think once again, our recommendation is to renew the program as is because it continues to work very well for the county and provide an opportunity to get a refund based on your performance throughout the year. Okay, and right now you're on track, as I think I mentioned, $141,000 as a refund for next year at the end of this current plan year. Okay, and then the other decision point is on the ancillary, whether to renew your program as is or to consolidate for the various reasons that we outlined. And once again, I think our recommendation would be to consolidate and use MetLife for your dental or your life, voluntary life, and your short-term disability, get the savings, and then also the simplification of having all of those lines renewed along with your medical plan on August as well.
Plus an additional one-year rate lock.
And a two-year rate lock, that's correct. Okay. And then the third item is, actually two things. One is, of course, the Cigna telemedicine is to have them go ahead and roll that out. It's at no cost, but then there would be a cost for starting January of 2017.
$6 a year.
Correct. Okay. And then the fourth item is the Arts Health Center program, which once again, we do highly recommend that knowing the claims of your population and knowing that it has saved costs for all of our clients that we've implemented that particular program, we would recommend that to roll that out accordingly.
Michelle, Sheila.
Here.
Go ahead.
Terry, could we have possibly 10 minutes of open discussion?
I guess.
Does anybody have any questions?
Do you guys have any questions, Michelle or Sheila?
The only thing that I would ask, Andrew, is the billing for the drug program and the medical part, the MDLive, is that all going to be on Cigna's billing?
So the MDLive would be starting in 2017. For now, it's just kind of in there for free for that piece. The RX Help Centers, the pharmacy piece, would be a separate invoice. That is a completely different vendor.
Okay.
Any questions?
No, I'm good with it.
You want to make a motion?
Yeah. I'm not sure how to make it. Recommend motion to accept.
Are you wanting to add the ancillary consult also in that motion?
Yes.
And are you also looking to add the telemedicine portion, which would be roughly $6 a month, whether it's going to be the, I don't know where that's going to come, whether it's going to be an additional out of the employee's pocket or the county's going to pick that up, but it's a service that's voluntary for those that choose to take that, correct?
For the telemedicine, that's just a service that's available for anybody that wants to use it. That's correct.
Okay. And then the prescription help center and potentially of saving funding on the medications that are...
the high-cost
medications.
Yep.
Medications. Is that your end motion, too?
Yeah.
Plus to renew the ancillary benefits with MetLife rather than...
Yes, MetLife.
The change to that.
Making it three agencies versus four in regards to the dental eyes.
Yeah, that'd be much easier. And MetLife has been very good.
Sheila, Michelle, any other questions before we, before Kevin?
No. I have one.
Yes,
why do we have to make the decision tonight? Why are you being pressured to make the decision right now?
So a good answer to that one there.
Yeah, no, and there's no real pressure other than if there's going to be a change to the ancillary, as I think Andrew mentioned, the more time we have just to make sure that everything is captured, all the data that needs to be captured and sent over to MetLife so that we're not butting up too close to the 8-1 renewal date for those benefits. And then also, in terms of the medical, if there's any other questions, the thought is, we can certainly push on some carriers to give us something to consider, but there again, they're not going to give us anything better than they did last year, and they're not certainly, if making a change, then that means not wanting to get that refund at the end of the year, too.
The only reason I'm asking that is you throwed out some new stuff this year, which sounds pretty good. But they haven't even, my personal opinion, they haven't even had a chance to look at the plan to be able to give you an honest, what they want to do.
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
do they want to do all of MetLife, or do they want to do the telehealth?
Mm-hmm. That's a great, and I'm glad you pointed that out. And I think I go back to one of the thoughts that I had on part of our job is to present to you what we think for your population is the best thing to consider, the best practices out there. So, yeah, there's other programs out there that maybe we or others can bring to you just to say that there are these such programs out there. But we don't want to waste your time to say, well, you can do this type of program if you want, but we're not recommending it. But what we bring to you is because that's what we feel is in your best interest and in our recommendation too. So, I mean, I think that that is the value that I see that we, you know, bring to you to do that. Now, if you do have some additional questions or if you want to think about it, I mean, that's fine, but just be mindful of, you know, we want to do great work for you in terms of if there's going to be a change in any of your benefits, the more time we have to make that change, the better.
So my polite recommendation for the new commissioners coming on board January 1st, which would be two, mm-hmm. I think what Bud was wanting to get a little feedback from them,
yep.
whoever that may be, or anyone else in the community, is this, that 2 months prior to June, come and present to give us a good 2 or 3 months to digest, ask more questions instead of here it is, Dave, with all due respect, I appreciate what you're doing for us. We kind of like to know your direction tonight. And it puts us all in a barrel.
I understand, and part of the problem with that is carriers are reluctant to give firm rates very far out.
You're right, and maybe that's the message that needs to be brought up the flagpole, especially for county agencies or town agencies here. We are working, June starts our budget time for when our council is going to be sitting down. We're going to be making a decision here tonight, potentially, or a joint session next week that, hey, we want to do something fabulous right here. It's possibly going to drive up what the council is going to allow us to pay. They may not want us to increase that, or they may. So hopefully that if you can stretch out the time that you report next year to the county commissioners, stretch it out a little bit longer and give them the opportunity to sleep on it, to ask the questions, go home and have someone read it to us to say, hey, Larry, why weren't you thinking of this? So that's just a polite request. So, Gary, we have a motion.
Have a motion to renew the plan and consolidate with MetLife, the attachments, add telemed and RX help portions also.
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Hey. I'd like to add also, I'd like to go ahead and do this if it's okay with the other commissioners. The Reach 360. Whenever we work,
we realize that we don't have a designated individual as an HR position.
Right.
It's a collage.
And to add to that, I mean, that is their expertise, and that is exactly what they do. Is whomever is in charge of what you would consider your HR kind of programming and services, then that's your expertise. They'll come in and identify, at the very minimum, what you could and should be doing to stay compliant. And then if by chance you would need, you would like to have them help you in any way, then that's when you would contract the specific types of services. So, but the audit, I think, would be a great place
sure.
to start.
Sure.
Okay. Okay, thank you,
thank
gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your
ladies.
Time.
Thank you, Dave. Yes.
Bud made a motion.
He made a motion,
yeah.
Barry. And you second
it. I second it.
Yes. Thank you. Arby, how long will this take for your presentation?
Not too long.
Okay.
I'm going to move right through.
Okay. Come on up there.
So this is what it's been since the first of the year. Now, we're at the middle of the year. I just want to let you guys know where we're at. some of the things I want to accomplish this year is data drives and backup drives, which those are in the OneDrive that are our data drives, our secure data drives in a secure location will be moved within the month. We have one that's in our location, and then one will be in a secure location will be within a month. One of my other objectives was to get rid of the old servers that we have and go into this, what I call the 21st century with virtual servers. And with the virtual servers, what I ended up doing was I had purchased one piece of hardware. And with one piece of hardware, I've been able to put four servers on that one piece of hardware. So that will end up saving us just in hardware costs. You know, you're looking at servers being $3,000, $4,000 a piece, and we purchased one decent-sized server between $5,000 and $6,000, so there's a dramatic cost savings there. We purchased the new FortiGate router. The FortiGate router is one that they use in banks and so on and so forth. They actually have FortiClient software that goes along with that. FortiClient software is like semantic endpoint or virus protection of some sort, and they work together. So it will protect us from inside and from outside. So what I mean by that is if there's an attack from inside, somebody puts a flash drive in their system or so on and so forth, what it'll end up doing is it'll actually shut that portion off, shut that system off the system, and then notify me so that we know that there's a problem there.
And that's the stuff we hear on the TV about ransomware.
Yeah, ransomware. Ransomware comes in and it will actually encrypt all of your data. And the new data drives protect us with that so that it'll actually take snapshots and actually do backups every 15 minutes. So that way if we do have ransomware, we can get rid of it and put that back on. The new fiber connection is at the annex building now. I've been testing it over there in my office. That should be back up. That should be up for everybody in the annex come this month. So everybody will be able to have access to our drives back here. What that's going to allow them to do is actually be able to do backups back here. They'll actually have their data on our servers or on our data on our backup drives. And actually be protected with the FortiGate also. The new WASP inventory program, it is on our servers. We haven't rolled that out yet. Here coming up for this coming up New Year's is when I'm planning on actually rolling that out. I'd like to get some departments, I know the Sheriff's Department has shown interest in, and I know the Auditor's Office has. So we're going to be rolling that out to those departments so that we can get some testing done. LaserFish, our paperless software, that was when I was here 3 years ago. It kind of went by the wayside. I had some offices asking about paper, going paperless. And so I got one department across the year's office that's actually going to go paperless, basically totally paperless. I've got another department over here, the surveyor's office, that will go partially paperless. But at least we're starting to get this LaserFish program started and going in to me in the right direction. Been working with all the departments. Most of the problems that I've seen in this past 6 months is hard drive failures. And the reason we've been having hard drive failures is systems are old. Normally the end of life, what's called the end of life of the system, what they consider the life of that system is going to stay is 4.5 years. And part of our systems are past that into life. So I've been working those, trying to work those systems, get new systems put them in place so that we don't have the downtimes.
How old have some of the pieces of equipment you've been come across?
I've got a server that had Server 2000 on it. So we're looking at 16 years, 17 years sitting out there running. Now, saying that, Microsoft doesn't support that operating system. They went away, 2003 server they went away last year with. So they don't support those anymore, so we don't get any kind of security updates with them.
As of today, for unplanned equipment, I've spent almost $28,000 on unplanned equipment this year. On my planned budget that I had for the equipment that I was purchasing for this year of $41,900. So, upcoming projects. Right now, what I'm looking at is about $8,700, just for some of the departments that's looking for laptops or surfaces or workstations. And it's not that the, you know, the departments are just frivolous and say, hey, I would just like to have it, just to have one sitting here. That's not the case. I mean, you know, they need them to come across from say the prosecutor's office from there, come over here so they can get on the network and actually get to the software programs that they need. So I haven't seen any of the departments look, you know, want to be frivolous about the equipment they need. But, you know, moving in the 21st century, you know, everything is internet-based. A lot of things is internet-based, and we use the data drives and our network for about everything now. So by saying that, I mean, we don't use paper and pencil anymore, so they have to have that equipment. Laserfish, back in December, we had one of our 2003 servers go down on us. At that point, that was our Laserfish server. At that point, we didn't have another server to bring, because the MVP and Provel was our main programs at that point in time for most of the courthouse. And so we couldn't be down. Ended up being down 2.5 days trying to get this back up, and that was because we had the server. So at that point in time, we ended up having to take Laserfish off of that server. I'm estimating, I don't have a cost on it yet. Laserfish is working with me. I put Laserfish on one of our new virtual servers, and they are working with me on the cost on that to install that program and get us back up within the next couple of weeks so that prosecutors can be using it. Purdue Extension. I'm looking at, and I'd like to have your guidance on this, on what you guys are thinking, a potential partnership with them, and that's what I call a potential partnership. The partnership would be on the school side. Natalie came in front of the board, let's say a month and a half ago, I believe it was, talking about bringing in Ivy Tech for schooling, and they also do schooling different classes over there. But the problem with Purdue Extension is they don't have any IT help over there, as in department-wise. I'm going over and I'm helping them. Now, Purdue Extension is part of the county to an extent, but it's a percentage. It's not a full county organization. What I'm asking is that we help them out, and to me, the way that this is going to work is we help them out, they're going to help the community out. And how they're going to help the community out is actually be able to provide those classes to our community, and maybe, you know, keep the people in our community by educating them. And there's a couple different options that I'm looking at, and Purdue Extension is going to actually be part of this. So let's say we give $8,000 to buy this equipment. You know, I was supposed to have a meeting with Natalie today, and I apologize. I was out on my mother had surgery today, right. So I didn't get a chance to over there to talk to her. My hope is she's going to look at half of that. So if I'm looking at an $8,000 cost, I'm hoping that she's going to give me $4,000, and I'm going to take $4,000 and put that together. That way, we have a true partnership there. By going option one is thin clients. Thin clients is to where all the software will be on our servers here. The benefit to the thin clients is there's no hardware wear out of it. If we need to upgrade Office or put QuickBooks on a machine, that could be done right on our servers and they would be up and going. At that point, we would be able to mark those, and if they want QuickBooks for today, we would give them QuickBooks. If they wanted Office for tomorrow, we'd give them Office. And it's just as simple as that. Right now, the way it is, they have laptops over there. the laptops they have don't last. I know that in the past I've worked on, you're looking at 2 or 3 years, maybe at the max, that they last. And, you know, you have school kids come in there and the college and so on and so forth. With the thin clients, I know that's a little more expensive going with thin clients, but with the thin clients, once you shut that machine off and you reboot it, if they've got a virus, malware, so on and so forth, it comes right back up to the same way it was when you see it the first time.
RV, we had a sit-down general chat with Natalie and this option one, and to think about the thin client. At times, Natalie's classes are not held in the annex. Sometimes they need to relocate to the community portion of the highway garage, or they may need to go out and teach a special class at Bronze or Plymouth Tube, or maybe set up a temporary class at the hospital. With the thin clients, she is able to remote into our servers, and all she has to do is just take her laptops or, am I right, laptop?
Yep.
Laptop.
What I'm looking for her is thin client laptops is what I'm looking for. They don't have any memory in them, so if you tried to boot them up just sitting here on the table, they would not boot up to anything. They have to be attached to our network to actually do that. Now, by saying that, I can set those up so that if they take them off-site, we would give them a code to get into our servers at that point in time, and they'd be able to access just that software that they're needing. And at that point, they would be able to access it anywhere. This is something I'm thinking about. This is something that isn't in the works, but why I think of this sign, and I thought of this a couple years ago while I was here. I don't know whether the Historical Society would allow it or not. I know it cost us, and I'm not trying to be frivolous with our money either. This sign would cost us right around $15,000 for a sign like this. I know that the church up the road here, they had purchased a sign like this from this company. It's been working for years. But what I'm looking at with this sign, if we end up going ahead with this, and this isn't something that's going to be voted on tonight, this is just something I'm thinking out loud with, is the sign would be, you know, it would have our name on it out here for the county. But we could use it for just like a 5K run, you know, saying what the events are that's in the county. We could have it for, you know, taxpayers, you know, hey, your taxes are due a certain day. We could use it for Purdue Extension. You know, we're trying to partner with Purdue Extension and get them to where they're sustainable, and so that we don't have to actually put that money out. So if we're putting $8,000 out this year, and, you know, 5 years from now, they're sustainable, maybe we don't have to put nothing out from that point. And maybe at that point, maybe they're giving us some money back. I mean, I know that they're going to get money for their tuition and the IT side of it. So we'll get some money back for that. But what I'm looking at with the sign is for a community. It's not just for Purdue Extension. It's not just for the county. It would be for the community itself. Degree technology, they're my backup. So when I go on vacation, when I'm sick, when I'm going away for the weekend, he's the one that I call and say, hey, are you going to be in town for this weekend? Are you going to be in town for this week? Because I'm going to be gone. So whether I'm at a conference, so on and so forth, he says, yep, I'm going to be in town. So now he is not able to leave town and go anywhere. He has to stay within our radius so that if dispatch goes down, if our servers go down, so on and so forth, he's going to have to come here and work on that equipment. Him and I worked hand in hand for many years, and I trust Willie, and he's great at everything what he does. But I think that he should get some on-call rate for being on call. I don't think that it's right that I ask him today that, hey, could you be on call this weekend? Sure, I could be on call this weekend. He could be going fishing this weekend up in Michigan and not be on call this weekend. So I think that he should get some sort of dollar amount per day to be on call for us. I was thinking that dollar amount being $50 a day. I'm planning on going on vacation in July, July your exact dates here, July 24th through the 28th. At that point in time, somebody's going to have to back us up. Willie's been gracious enough so far to allow us, you know, to be on call for us and not get paid for it. He hasn't come in for any on-call issues since for this year, since I've been since we've got everything up to date. I don't look for him to come in, but he should still get something for that. He can say, "No, I'm not going to be on call." So I think that he should get something for that. The last thing I have is I have to thank the maintenance for helping me today. And I have to thank Galbraith. Galbraith, they donated a lot of IT equipment to us today. So I have to give thanks to Galbraith for doing that. They didn't have to do that. We could have purchased all that equipment from them today. But they were gracious enough to donate that to the county. And maintenance went out and helped me do that today, and we're going through that in my office. So.
Very good. And I'd like to also, on my behalf, extend thanks to Galbraith Incorporated yes. for their donation of their surplus of the IT equipment, and I believe a couple of desks in there too, but I too also.
And this call rate, mm-hmm. is that when you notify them you're going to be off, or you what?
That's when I notify them that I'm going to be gone.
That's yeah. like when you want to pay, yeah. right, 7 days a week.
No. The on-call would be, I know that I go to Fort Wayne for personal issues and different things, and so I want to have him on-call. So at that point in time, he would get $50 for that day for being on-call. Now, if he gets called in, I talked to him about this. If he gets called in on that on-call day, he'll take that $50 off of that and bill that right in with it. So let's say that his is $150 an hour. He'll take that $50 off to begin with. It won't be $200 for that first hour. But like I said, that I think that he deserves something for being on call for us.
I believe that if we did something like that, Bud and Terry, I would think that we need the council to get on board. Whether we're looking at incorporating that for 2017 budget, most definitely, but for the remainder of the year, we need to look at what funds available within your budget.
Right. Which so I have funds in my available for that.
Okay.
So we just need to be a contract. He's not an employee of the county.
Correct.
So. To sign a contract.
Okay. All righty. I welcome the leaning forward approach with Purdue Extension and the vision of being able to provide the necessary, lack of better words, IT equipment, services, for not just Purdue Extension, but for the building of the relationship with Ivy Tech and the other agencies of our community that may need it. I applaud that, and it would be my motion to allow you to proceed with that, but that's my motion.
I'll second your motion, Larry. Motion and second. All those in favor to partner with Purdue Extension? Aye.
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 Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good?
Good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
ARB?
Yes.
Can I get a printout?
I sent that to you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Got some gentlemen from the hospital here.
I emailed all this stuff to you guys, but I have an extra printed copy.
Sure.
If you want, if you
can,
all of you guys can look at it. And then the contract.
Yeah.
one fell apart maybe. Or the pledge, there's two. One for them and one for
us. Well, why don't we get
if you
just
agree.
To this thing about trade and all of this. Four pages.
Who drew these?
All right, Tom Freeman.
Well, thank you very much for taking our request and hearing us tonight. One of the things that we're asking for tonight is part of with the expansion in services, the increase in volumes, et cetera, of the hospital, to be able to serve the new providers, the community, et cetera, as we grow, we're going to have to look at some expansion projects at the hospital, and one of those components is part of the loan process in acquiring the money to be able to do that expansion. We looked at partnering with local banks, financing options, et cetera, here within the county, and have kind of started to focus on a USDA loan. And our financial advisor has talked to us, and one of the components or criteria for that USDA loan and being able to get it approved is to show a form of community support.
Sure.
When we asked him about a good way to be able to evidence that support, he recommended that we come to the county commissioners and just basically ask for an acknowledgement or a pledge of support. So that's what we're here tonight to do. And if you had any questions, you can answer those as well. But it's a non-binding agreement. Basically, it's a show of support that the project that we're undertaking is good for the community.
This is the same project was produced to us last month, or is this a different
one? No, this is a different project.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sure. I can't say it out loud, but... Initially, the garage project was part of this, but when we decided to go to USDA, you can't do anything until you have final approval by USDA.
Okay.
So this is something we haven't taken out the bid yet. Okay. Even though we're ready, we're jumping through the USDA hoops.
Okay. Oh, a morgue in there? We need a morgue.
I'm sorry?
A morgue. We don't need a morgue. We keep more alive.
We desperately need a morgue.
Can we do?
I mean, the county does. Yes. The county is willing to, I think. Partner with the hospital to do it. I know this is on topic today, but you guys are doing expansion. Just throwing it out there. We're in desperate need of one. The county is.
Yeah, we can put that on our strategic plan. This is just phase one of a master facility plan that we've had for, well, we updated it from prior to my getting here for 3.5 years, so.
I'll entertain a motion to sign this letter of support for the hospital.
That's taken.
Motion and second. Those in favor? Do you want to add anything, Larry?
I welcome this.
I do too. That's great.
This is still another win-win for Pulaski County and surrounding areas.
Mm-hmm. You can ask our board members. It's been over 2 years that I look out our board door to the parking lot and say that building hadn't started yet. Something wrong, but
okay.
Because we've needed this for a long time.
Yes, sir.
Great. Thank you.
Question.
Yeah.
Use can get the USDA loan.
I'm sorry?
Can you get the USDA loan?
We're going to partner with Alliance Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Alliance Bank. For just a small portion, because that's all they can handle of it, and that would be a guaranteed portion, and then the rest of the loan will be direct with the hospital, and it's a 3% 40-year loan. It's hard to beat. So.
Yeah, this is the support is one of those criteria components when we are actually filling out the application for the USDA. It helps in getting that approved through the Department of Agriculture if we have that show of support. So this is kind of a deliverable to them in the application.
Fulton County RMC, we're able to get $2 million to loan out to help somebody. USDA.
Okay.
Well, I got another project. If you like that, and then we'll even let people from Fulton County come over. So, and like I said, this is really just the first phase of this.
Good. Thank you very much.
So let's do this official. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carried.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Are you guys going to sign both of them and then give them a copy?
Yeah.
season. Thank you.
And thank you, Sheila.
Thank you, Sheila.
No problem.
It's up for us. You know, we'll
Form?
Yeah.
Because
you've got some equipment needs there. I would have walked them into this if we could. It just keeps getting
better. This team, that's for us. You're holding on for this one, right?
Yep.
This one's yours.
There you go.
This one's ours.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Sheila?
You got the rest of that paperwork that was with that?
But all that paperwork.
Does she want to keep it and then print it?
If she wants it back, the pictures.
No, if he wants to keep it, he can.
If you want to keep it, you can. Otherwise.
Okay.
I'll just print a new one.
All right.
All right. Terry Rupp, County Highway.
You don't want it?
Gentlemen.
Good evening. Hello. How are you doing?
Good.
Double on that point tonight.
All right. We'll speak into that thing, and it'll be great.
Okay. Bottom line is, let's get this annual report approved.
Move to approve the annual report as presented. I know Jessica had put a lot of, all y'all have put a lot of time and efforts into this report. I appreciate your efforts, sir.
Move to make a second on that.
Okay.
Motion of second to approve and sign. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Next step, Kevin, you want to get into this road use agreement?
Yeah, the copy there.
Well, I think what we need tonight is just a tentative approval that the commissioners are on board with them signing an agreement that is, well, you can take it and read it if you want, but it's 18 pages and finally printed. And what this is the agreement that White County used for the Greentown Rentals Project and that we would like to use for the Topeka Rentals Project. And the Topeka Rentals Project contact person I have discussed this with, and he's waiting for us to send him a proposed agreement, then he's going to get back with us about whether they approve it, but this is the same agreement they approved in White County. And I think Terry and Gary have gone over it, and they both...
Good, the numbers are presented in there.
Well, it compensates the county for their, in addition to resurfacing the roads, if they damage them or anything like that, it also provides for some compensation for the inconvenience, I guess, coming through the county with this 100 miles of the electrical line, right?
Sure.
I didn't know if you guys had copies of it yet or not. What I'm getting at is they're kind of pushing issues. So we don't know when they're going to come through. The bottom line is they're going to get something in writing, I guess.
They seem to be a little ways off when I spoke to the contact person. I can't think of his name now.
Matt.
Okay. It's like $500 an intersection and...
We don't really know what we're in for. We just want to make sure the county doesn't get shortchanged on anything, I guess is what
I know we've talked about this from time to time, and I agree with
Kevin then worked for us, so.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
Well,
Kevin was the...
They haven't signed it yet, so.
Right.
The bottom line is White County's dealt with this before with the windmills and everything else down there, so they're a good guideline to go by, I guess is what I'm trying to say, so.
So,
that's the White County thing I got in hand, but I got the PDF from the auditor over there, and if it converted it to a Word document, so we can manipulate that, and Colleen already has, actually, so it's just probably ready to send tomorrow, if you guys wanted to say, this is what we got. In general, we approve
with your permission and your approval, I would move on behalf of the commissioners to move forward on approving this road use agreement.
In keeping with that agreement, the White County, Greentown,
Reynolds project agreement. I'd just say those parameters. I can't say for sure what the exact final contract will be, but as long as it's in keeping with those.
In keeping with White County's...
down at the bottom of that.
Greentown Reynolds Project White Road Agreement. White County Road Agreement. I would make that motion.
I'll second. Have a motion second to sign the road use agreement concerning the Reynolds Topeka project in line with White County's agreement. All those in favor?
Aye.
If you carry, thank you, gentlemen.
Sheila, I'm going to give this to you because I'm sure it's going to be...
We'll send it to Matt and then wait to hear back from him.
And then anytime it needs for our signature to get placed on it, we'll do that.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, let us know.
And I'd also like to let you know that we've got all our roads paved and ready.
Congratulations.
Yes, we're...
Where are we?
Well, the bottom line is Jessica's getting the report ready. That's the next thing, I guess. Do we keep pursuing it on our own, I guess is what I'm trying to say?
In my opinion, my other commissioners can concur or not, that's a living document. So each year you go do an improvement to a road, you update your pace rating. So whether you choose to do it yearly, rate it yearly, every 2 years or every 3 years, that's your choice there. But if you have you say all your roads have been rated.
Rated all the roads.
Okay, that's what they need. And then the report will go with your application, is what I understand. I did get the bridge assessment from
Jeff Larson.
Jeff Larson. Yeah. Larson. My question is, I know you guys were looking at the 50-50 for mainly roads here, but there were about 8 to 10 bridges, ballpark figure, that might be needed. Am I jumping ahead?
No, you're not, Larry. If we went to the meeting, the bottom line is the wheels start turning. A $500,000 bridge turns into $250,000 bridge.
Yes, sir.
I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yes. So,
even the Malpool Bridge up there.
Yes.
We was trying to cut corners with a call. Now we're looking into it. We're going to get with Jeff. The bottom line is, at half the price, maybe we're better off to go with the bridge. You understand what
yes.
I'm trying to say? We was trying to save the county a couple $100,000.
We're up to allowed to go up to $1 million to put into this program. And at last meeting or meeting four, you were thinking, let's just stick around the $500,000. But now that I saw that report, and there's some bridges that are within a earshot, whether it's contracted out by some other vendor to do the repair, where Pulaska County Highway Department does the bridge work.
We've got some other ideas, too, I guess, is what I'm getting at. We're looking into things, but we're trying to basically lean towards the...
Great. So present, let them turn it down and say, hey, we did all that we could. We presented it.
Bridge project's a big project for Pulaski County anyway. If we can get something done at half the cost, it's
a win-win.
White cut a corner when a bridge might be better suited than a culvert. Yeah.
So, and I think, I'm not speaking on behalf of the council, but I think the council would be in agreement with that line of reasoning.
What I'm trying to say is we'll all work. We're not going to do anything just on our own. We'll work with all of you. Yeah. We're looking into some other possibilities.
Great.
The only other thing, Terry, is possibly to compile all of our information for our asset management plan, our road asset management plan.
And bridge.
To throw all that together on ours. Jessica and Terry and I kind of talked today as there might be a possibility to seek a little bit of help from like a consultant.
Sure.
And maybe Fulton County's. I mean, a normal plan was anywhere from $40,000 to $50,000 to the asset management plan. And then we're doing it all.
Compiling
all the information at the end.
Right.
Might need a little bit of assistance from.
Could LTAP reach out to LTAP, Rich? Maybe he could help there.
Unless
you want to do the vendor to come in to help you.
That's what I was getting at. To actually present it to them, we might go with an expert, I guess.
Yeah. And that's fine.
We don't want to handicap ourselves.
Correct.
The bottom line is, I don't know if we can get it all. Maybe we can. I don't know.
And
I called the other day when you were attending the MDOT's training on the 50-50 matching grant program. I talked to Travis. I don't know if the message got down to you. You had mentioned about if we had a air compressor that's on wheels, large enough. In this explanation of spending of monies from this surplus money from the state that was ours in the first place, purchasing of equipment for your roads is acceptable. So
25% of our the fund that we got can use for equipment purchase.
Well, I thought it was in that 75% portion that it could, but anyway, you may be correct there. But if that compressor is something out there that is a viable piece of equipment that, because you'll be able to use it on building your bridge, it's your culverts.
The mold plates and stuff like that.
Yeah, correct. We need so
there's a lot of opportunities, Larry. We just haven't.
I know.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there we need, I guess, is what I'm, and we're looking for an air compressor.
Correct. So this is, there's a source of funding that.
We're going to need one for that 1400 West deal over there. So correct. One way or the other, if we have to rent one or whatever, that's what we're looking into.
So now that I diverted you from everything you wanted to say, is there anything else you wanted to say?
The bottom line is, we're going to start burning tomorrow, getting ready for the blacktop. And so, no, I guess basically that's about it. This is some pretty heavy stuff here. So,
was NDOT training worth the trip up there?
I believe so, don't you?
Yeah. Sheila went along.
Yeah. Sheila went along. Good job, Sheila.
Just to commit to the road trip.
I think so.
Yeah.
And
the more information we can get, the better off we are, I think. So.
The.
As it starts on the 14th, everyone.
He's basically going to wait till August. The bottom line is, supposedly it'll be drier then for the ditch. I don't know. It's getting dry out there now, but we're just going to wait till after the road work was basically completed. That's usually about the middle of August, somewhere in there. That's when we wanted to do it, I guess. Anytime after the middle of July, I guess, is that was our plan. So we're going to have to put it together and then put it in. So. It won't be a big deal. I think it's only 50 foot long. It's not a monster. So.
You got the gas lines involved with that, correct?
Yeah, we're going to slide it underneath the gas lines.
Okay.
As we say, nothing can go wrong. So.
Great
job. And that's going to help out a lot of people over there, getting rid of that.
Yeah. One lane bridge.
So you have till July 15th to submit the applications by 5 p.m. August 2nd, allegedly, is the grants will be announced.
Yeah. We're all on board with that. The bottom line is Jessica's working her hiney off to get everything ready. So, yeah.
All right. Congratulations, y'all.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
No problem. Thanks, Kevin.
Tim, you want to say something?
I haven't heard anything since our last meeting about the courthouse renovation, addition, whatever project. Can you update me on what's happening there, or what you're thinking, or what's going to happen next?
There have been no meetings. The latest action in the courthouse I talked about tonight was the attic repair, but there's been nothing really.
Well, after that, you guys had a little conversation that I think was about the courthouse. I'm not sure, but you kind of made sure you kind of kept that out of that word out there. So I'm not, what was that about?
I think Jim is proceeding to try to get the whole project done.
As was presented before, no one's ever looked at alternatives or... I mean, I'm just looking to see which direction you're going.
I think Jeff was out working with Bronze in more regards to this is in regards to taxes and reviewing that, make sure they were on the same page as everyone else if they hadn't read the newspapers or actually come up and
talk to Jeff, but Jeff is wanting to meet with the Joint Commission joint session next Monday, to find out a direction, which way to go, whether a renovation, or whether an addition, or whether we're scrapping this, or which direction we are heading. He would like to be able to, it's on his radar all the time. It's not one day I'm looking at this, it's always on his radar, and he needs to get some guidance from the commissioners and the council. Next Monday, I don't know what time he is slotted for, Jeff.
Six.
6 o'clock. It's the joint session, so.
Next Monday?
Yes.
Today?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. And more discussion is going to come then.
Okay. I just said the only thing I heard was from a past council member that she just said, I heard through the grapevine they're going to push it through and do it. So I thought I need to come and see what you guys are. I hadn't heard words from anybody else about it. So nothing in the paper, nothing. I've been to most of the commission and I haven't heard a word about it.
No.
So just didn't want to be all of a sudden one day they had a meeting and going to shove it through.
I don't know who you're, you can tell us afterwards, but I don't know who your past council member, commissioner or council member?
Council member.
Okay.
So again, that's, who knows where it came from, but I'm just.
Sure.
Just looking to see what's going on.
There is positive support and there's negative support. Both ways out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's evident in any project.
Sure. Okay. All right, fair enough. I just want to see what we're doing.
Yep.
Thank you. I apologize because there's lots of rumors going around that it's a good project. I don't think it is.
Okay.
We might.
Well, I just, when you guys were talking earlier, it was evident you were trying to keep that out of the conversation and trying to just be very vague. I assume that's what you're talking about, but I wasn't sure. So.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, guys.
Okay. All right, Sheila, we have some old business and some other discussions.
What do you want to do about the big blue tree, Bill, the 3500? That was tabled from the last meeting.
Well, he did the work. I think we should pay it. He had some unforeseen issues, and it wasn't like he was trying to fool us or anything. I just think he did a good job.
I make a motion to pay the $2,100, which we agreed upon, but the add-on extra was uncalled for, and we did this on the drainage board. I didn't have the right to make one personal opinion. I had to have two people. I don't think there was two people made on the $1,400 increase.
Was yours a motion to?
I just stated that I think we ought to pay it in all fairness. The guy did the work. It was an estimate, Bud, and he did not have the climbers he thought he was going to have, and we couldn't get the equipment up there like he thought.
Well, when you make a bid.
He didn't bid. He did not bid. That was not a bid. No, it wasn't a bid. It was an estimate. And he thought he could do it for that. But he did the work, did a heck of a job. The other expense was like $7,600. And he's still way below that.
I'll move to approve the $3,500.
I'll second. Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Nay, who?
Bud Nay?
Yep.
Okay. Sherry Gaylord has a conference request. She had two of them.
Yes.
One is to damage assessment workshop in Warsaw, and the other one's to emergency management class at Camp Atterbury.
Move to approve that conference request.
I'll second.
I have a motion to second to approve the conference request. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
CenturyLink has a request for application for permit for buried telephone facility. starting at County Road 500 South and County Road South 600, 1600 West and going south on County Road South 600, 1600 West to County Road 600 South and east on County Road 600 South and Goat Winding. Let me concede.
You want to say that again, please?
No.
I think it's a metasquare. Thank you for that information.
I know where it's at.
Okay. We already approved the highway financial report, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you going to make a motion for the...
I'll entertain a motion to sign the application for the buried telephone permit.
Okay, yes. I'll move to approve the request from CenturyLink.
Okay. Motion to second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
I thought it was just information. Yeah. I apologize, Sheila.
Good.
And then the letter from IBM. I think all of you got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
On claims, I have one claim that's in question, and it's because we've been getting claims that do not have detail on them. And usually I've been approving at least the first one, but we stress that we need detail on reimbursing claims, and I have one that did not get a detail. She did on some of her conference, but she didn't on that one, and so I don't know if you want to approve it or not. The auditor's manual says to be reimbursed, it has to be a detailed receipt.
Is there any way that she can...
No, I ask.
You need to sign the other two then, Terry.
Listen.
Yeah, okay.
Here, I'll let you take a gander at that.
These are lunch receipts, correct, Sheila?
Pardon?
These are lunch receipts.
I don't know what receipts. She went to conference.
They all are apparent to be of a food establishment.
The issue behind that is the county does not pay for alcohol. And I'm not saying she had alcohol, but there's no way to prove that she didn't. By just an amount.
This is the one. The one that X through this? Is that
yes, that's the one. That's okay. The only one. She got detail on all the rest.
You're correct.
I'll entertain a motion to pay for everything but the... claim in question.
I'll second that motion. We're approving these, not that one.
Have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
Aye.
And that was the only one I had a question on. Everything else is okay.
In regards to payroll and claims, I'll make a motion to approve payroll and claims as presented.
I'll second.
Have a motion and a second to approve payroll and claims as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
I had no... I did call Sheila on a couple of things on the minutes. I have no problem with making a motion to approve minutes as presented.
Second.
Motion and second on the minutes as presented. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I pulled the minutes up when I was talking to him on the phone and corrected him as he told me what they were.
Okay. Motion carried.
Thank you.
And I think that covers everything. Anything else?
Anybody? Old business. We have a meeting Wednesday with HR.
Pardon?
We have a meeting Wednesday with HR.
No, we have a meeting Wednesday at 10 o'clock with FLMA.
Okay, I'm sorry.
To give you an update on that, we have someone coming, and the seminar, the meeting, will be videotaped for future reference.
I'm just asking, are the new candidates, which I made in the motion, invited?
No, they're not county employees yet. And this is, if I invite them, then I have to make it a public meeting. That's why we're having it videotaped, so they can see it.
Will that be available to them?
Pardon?
Will that be available?
Yes.
To them anytime?
Yes. We've got a few of the department heads that can't make it on the 8th either. And so that was the other reason for doing it, was not only for them, but the new incoming.
I will not be in attendance. I'll be in Indianapolis. My wife, she has a medical appointment with an infectious disease doctor. So I'll be getting the video or looking at the video.
I discussed it with RB, and he'll have something set up for it so that everybody that's involved can see it.
And just to summarize, FLMA, this is...
FMLA.
Did I say that incorrectly? Thank you for the correction. I've been corrected. We've had record in the past where some supervisors have not completed the paperwork as efficiently as they could have, thus potentially putting the Tlaska County in question with the state in regards to proper payment. Is that correct? Or
this FLMA has got nothing to do with payment. FLMA has got to do with employer and employee. And if somebody's ill, they need to fill it out so their jobs are protected. I talked to one of the department heads last week, and they're under the impression that FMLA means that they won't get paid or they can't have as long a recovery. It doesn't have anything to do with that. Its number one thing is to protect the employee so that they have a job, so they keep their job. And I think that's the lady that's coming talked to Colleen, and she said that today there was a suit filed. It could come back on the employer if the paperwork is not done.
And we had a nice conversation with her. I didn't get to speak with her today, but she's gotten to spend some time with her. She's going to gear the presentation more for the department heads to just know what you need to know, instead of focusing in detail on the intricacies of the law that they don't really need to know. Just here's what you need to know. Here's your qualifying events. Here's what you do. You know, we've been over this already before multiple times.
But I didn't realize how people aren't, I mean, they're not absorbing it like it needs to be.
Yeah, it's a little complicated, I guess. And it's in our policy book, too. But,
yeah, so this lady's gonna, I think, do a nice job. She's actually from Winnemucca. Yeah. She's also going to
talk
about Title VII.
What?
Title VII.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else from the public?
I would like to make a motion that as of August 1st, we stop conferences for the old elected officials to the rest of the year.
Why?
Cut the cost down.
Some of them are mandated.
State mandated.
They're mandated, yes. But
What? So, my conference in December, you're saying I can't go to? I'm an elected official, outgoing official.
I don't think I...
I'm asking, clarify.
And I'm asking, I didn't ask either.
Well, if that was a motion, no.
I won't second. Motion died for lack of second.
That conference, you don't pay for it. They do.
But some of our conferences are state called, like the commissioner's conference, the auditor, recorder, treasurer, assessor, surveyor. These are all state called, and those are the ones that, because, let's see, 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, they are mandating us to have so many hours of training. It used to not be like that, but it is now. All elected officials have to have so many hours of training.
Do they pay for the travel and the hotel?
The commissioners do. They set a rate, but it can come out of unappropriated money. And we've always budgeted it so that we can keep track of how much is being spent on that. But it can come out of unappropriated monies. It does not have to be budgeted.
Maybe
we just budget it because we can keep track. But nowadays they're making us have, like mine, I have to have 45 hours in 3 years of training. And if somebody doesn't get the training that's required, it comes to you and you're responsible. And they're getting more and more tight. When it comes to that, they were talking at the last meeting that there's going to be a possibility that commissioners and council will be required also. What are they going to do to you? I don't know. But they're requiring all of us, and this just happened 3 years ago when they started requiring everybody. Assessors have had been required for several years, but now they're making all of us so many hours in a three-year period.
It has been my opinion that any time that we can offer training, attend conference, that it should be approved. I know that someone questioned all my conferences I attended last year. They wanted a detailed listing. It's public knowledge. And if you don't want to lean forward on gathering new information on how this county government should run forward, maybe you're in the wrong business. But every sheriff's deputy needs to be trained. Every highway department employee needs to be trained. Every auditor's position needs to be trained. And to sit up here and say, we're going to try to save money and not train anyone, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Well, the new auditor that's coming in, everything's changing January 1st with all the casualty that flow. It's, yeah, I mean, she's not going to want to come in and be blindsided by all of that. And it's not her call. It's the state. They're the one that made it.
I appreciate you wanting to save the money, but you're costing yourself more money when you don't train your employees.
I didn't come to argue.
I didn't either. That wasn't an argument.
Who's not wanting to train employees? I mean, I know that's almost a given.
You would think so.
I would think they would. Maybe I shouldn't speak up. Like a new auditor coming in. Why wouldn't they be trained the first few months they're in there instead of spreading it over 2 or 3 years? I know they have so much year. I understand. It looks like they should be concentrated on the start of the job so they know everything.
The meeting in December for the new commissioners, they are requested to attend. They have a newcomers training in December for them to jump start. It's a jump start. It's a day ahead of the time of the regular conference. But you attended before you started your first day of employment come January 1st. Whoever the next commissioners are, they're afforded the first 3 or 4 days of December to go to that conference. They get their big books. They get their special name tag. They get their training that gives them their jump start, Carol. I'm not sure if the auditors do it also, but the auditors do it. They all do get that initial thing. But, yes, sir.
What I understood Bud to say, that the outgoing, Sheila, I'm going to use you as an example.
Okay.
But why would you go to a conference in December or November when you're not going to be the auditor? first chance.
I'm not going to. I don't. My comments.
That's what I understood Bud to say. The people who are definitely outgoing, why should they receive these training sessions?
So for me, for the reason why I'm going in December is I sit on the Indiana Association of County Commissioners. I actually represent 16 counties of northwestern Indiana. I'm the vice president of those commissioners. And I sit on that board that runs that conference. And I'm actually on the planning committee for that conference. They will be paying for me to be at that conference.
I see that as a legitimate thing, and I understand.
For some, they don't, and that's okay.
Somebody that's definitely outgoing doesn't make any difference at that point if they're being.
Some people actually get nominated for awards that are presented at the end of your conference. Sometimes they don't. There's several reasons.
Okay.
And that was not an argument, but you have yet to see me argue. But thank you. Any other public?
Entertain a motion adjourned.
I'll make that.
Anything, Sheriff? On the,
Jeff, are you on the list? I'm sorry.
I took you long.
Oh.
Bill, if you got a few minutes.
Yeah, what do you got? Come on out. I'll get a ticket.
I need to start putting myself on the list. I thought you had me on there.
I did. I just took you off today.
I just got some quick things. We got the titles coming for those vehicles that we were talking about. Part of our jail inspection for the last several years, we've kind of got dinged for not having this report. So there's that report. So this jail inspection will pass with flying colors, I'm sure. We talked about the dog last meeting. I'm going to go to the council to get their blessing on the transference of money. Travis paid for the price that we agreed on for Gil. So I'm sure that we've got that check. We totaled a charger in a car deer accident. Insurance companies already advised us what they'll pay. I have some money that I can transfer as long as the council lets me, and then I'm going to make up the rest with the commissary fund, and we'll replace that vehicle. So my notes to make sure I got everything. And that's what I had.
Did the deer live?
No, I don't think he did.
All right. Great ceremony last Monday.
Thank you. Thank you for attending.
Job well done. Sorry I didn't come in to make some mingle afterwards, but
no,
that's a lot of people there.
Yeah, no, it was a good turnout. I'm just happy to.
Thank you for your allowing Jeff to have some inmate help from time to time. Appreciate it. He had some kudos that he was passing out tonight. But thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Helpful.
Another thing, just for everybody's, we had an insurance audit, and I can just talk about what happened at the sheriff's office with that. They were concerned about the amount of time that we save video. They want it to be a little bit longer, and so I would echo RB's when he's talking about servers and storage. And I brought it up to him, you know, it's all fine and dandy to sit here and say that we're going to store videos for up to 2 years. And, you know, I think it's still a discussion in the state office or as far as the legislature about what they're going to request. I know a bill was introduced. I don't know where it was finally ended, but it was brought to their attention that, you know, you start talking about recording everything that happens in a jail and everything that deputies do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's a lot of storage, and, you know, who's going to pay for that? And then you start talking about the legalese, what's public record in the sheriff's office, and if somebody's video that's taken to their home, the inside of it by a deputy when he was in there doing a case, you know, then I think we all should be putting up some red flags on just what can we want the police recording and what we save and store. So I think it's still kind of in its infant stage, and until that's kind of settled out, you know, I'm not really ready to, you know, we do have some video that we do, and we kind of leave it up to the deputies. If you'll look, almost all of them have a recorder on them, and the one that we use, they can, if they think they've gotten into something that they need to record, they can push a button, it'll go back and grab the last 30 seconds of what had just happened and records audio and video, and it's very good. So, but we're not recording, you know, they're actually recording, but it's not saved until they push a button and it'll go back and grab the previous 30 seconds. So far that's worked pretty well for us, but you know, I can see some issues of public records, of people wanting that and where that's going to go. And so until that, you know, we're not going to make a big push to actually record everything that they're doing and try to save it, because it's, I mean, the storage is just going to go out the roof with trying to save all that. So that's all I've got.
Thank you.
I'm ready. Thank you.
Hey, Jeff, I see your deputies out a lot in the last couple of weeks, just sitting someplace watching.
We got, I think we got good deputies. They're a young bunch. You know, the oldest one on the road is like 5 years, and we're in the process of the last guy here that we replaced Travis with. I think we're down to two good candidates, and maybe three. There's some discussion on this one, but we actually got a deputy that's wanting to come here from another county instead of going to another place. So that could be good news for us if he winds up being the guy. So we'll see.
Very good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I got a public comment.
Yes.
Somebody stepped forward, a responsible property owner stepped forward and took ownership of the sportsman.
Yes.
I wrote to the paper about it, so I'm sure it'll be in the paper, but that was...
Thanks for your efforts, sir.
Well, yeah. I don't know if it was the last meeting we had that finally struck a chord or what, but this gentleman was taking on quite a burden, and he knows it, but kudos to him.
I think I got a call 2 days later that it transpired, so.
Yeah. I had received three or four phone calls from the gentleman leading up to the signing and the day of the signing, and so.
He's already done the work. I understand they've started it.
Yes.
So the county did their bins back?
We will be. They're using until they're finished with their clean out, but we will be keeping the fence, sir. Good question. Good enough answer?
That is it.
Okay. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Motion on second, adjourn. Hold in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you.
The annual report from the Health Department. What do you mean they usually do every year at this time?
We don't know.